What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
You're listening to the New Evangelicals Podcast. Hey everyone, I'm Tim.
And I'm April.
And welcome to the New Evangelicals Recaps. Every Friday, April and I will help you stay up to date on what's happening in this bizarre, strange, and sometimes kind of crazy Christian culture we find ourselves in while having a little fun along the way. Let's get into this week's recap. What's up, April?
Hello. So much is up. How are you?
So much is up.
What isn't up right now?
Well, I'm depressed as hell because you kind of ruined my day by bringing up my podcast one-star reviews. So I'm navigating this now in real time on the air, you know, as I read these terrible things about me in the podcast. Apparently, we're a bunch of heretics and we hate God. So not sure if you know that.
I mean, I'm surprised that that's surprising to you.
Here's one that I wanted to read. I mean, why not? Let's just start off on a real happy note. My take on this bro and his podcast. Three options as to why this dude is such a hater of the evangelical church. Number one, must have been significantly wounded by the evangelical church. Okay, Not really that true. Two, he's a heretic and a sheep in wolf's clothing who's figured out how to not get a real job by making a career off of slamming God's designated institution, the church and her peeps.
Her peeps, like Easter.
Three, he's on to something and we all need to listen, even though it may be painful. Okay, maybe.
Third one was a curveball.
Not sure which, but kind of feel like maybe it's a mixture of all three. Thanks, bro.
Interesting. You know, interesting. He had me in the first half. I'm not going to lie.
For real. Oh, anyway, so yeah, we're off to the races. It turns out, you know, that I could hate God, I could be really wounded by the evangelical church, or I could be saying something that everyone needs to hear. Who knows which one, though, is right?
Interesting. I mean, he did give you 2 stars, unlike some of the other 1 stars who are just like, this dude's from Satan.
He hates God. The problem is, you know, during the week, there are so many things that I always want to point out and kind of like bring to the community. And so on Fridays now, I'm like, oh, we can cram everything in. Let's just talk about everything that I wanted to get to that I couldn't get to this week. And so I just feel like we're going to keep adding segment after segment of like, okay, let's talk about bad podcast reviews, new segment. All right, tweet of the week, new segment. Prophecy of the week, new segment. There's just so much to talk about. That's the problem.
It's endless. It's just nonstop. I think especially in an election year, I feel like people are just extra out of pocket.
They are. And also, I'm just seeing the craziest things from people saying the craziest things about Trump and just like how, I don't know, like I'm probably on Twitter too much these days.
Yeah.
And my algorithm is just all of the people that drive me crazy. It's like Megan Basham, who's a Daily Wire reporter. It's William Wolf. It's this account, that. And they just say things that like I want to spend so much time responding to, but I know will be a total waste of my time because the response is like, here's a Bible verse, therefore you're wrong. It's like, how can I even respond to that when the whole game is who can quote the Bible better out of context to prove their point? It's a waste of my time, but I'm just triggered all the time now because of this.
Yeah, well, the algorithm, I don't follow any of those like right-wing accounts anyway, but they're all in my timeline. I cannot not see it. And then I just get, oh, that's so not true. And they're saying these things, especially from this past weekend, which we'll get to soon, but like outrage over things that literally are not real.
Yes, exactly. It drives me up a wall that these are like the things that they are so focused on. Anyway, as you can tell, I'm fired up about this, but we have a lot to get to.
Note to self, don't bring up Tim's bad reviews right before the show.
Thank you. Protect my heart, April. I insist. Yeah,
no, that's your job. You got to guard my heart as the male. Oh, right, male.
Right. I'm sorry. Yeah. Yes, right, right. I have to protect your heart. Yes, yes. Thank you. And thank you for dressing so modestly. It really means a lot to me. Thank you for protecting my heart.
Of course. Yeah.
Okay, let's go right into, there is a prophecy of the week that I do want to cover on the show. For those of you who don't know, something tragic happened, actually. The Baltimore Bridge was demolished by a massive ship, cargo ship, that lost power. The captain used his personal cell phone to call authorities to say, get the bridge evacuated. We have no power. I can't control this thing. And there's the video is shocking. Like this major freight liner, it looks like it just taps the bridge and the whole thing falls like a house of cards. It's a big deal, huge deal. And that did not stop some prophets from declaring that, you know, I knew this was coming. I knew that this was going to happen. And so I figured we can start off with the prophecy of the week and hear what, what's this dude's name? Do you know?
Isn't this Dutch Sheets?
Is this Dutch? Okay. Yeah.
I think it is. Right.
Yeah. The guy on the top of this video is the host of Flashpoint. I forgot. I've actually met him at Turning Point America Fest. I've actually shaken his hand because one of the guys that I talk to a lot, his name is Victor Marks. I actually like Victor a lot. We become quite friendly. And he knows all these dudes. So he introduced me to this dude on the floor. So I met him once. Mm-hmm. But yes, the guy in the bottom of this video, if you're listening on podcast, this video will be up on YouTube so you can watch it all as well. He had a prediction after the Baltimore Bridge collapsed.
Right. Didn't talk about it beforehand.
Right.
Conveniently.
Like, he could have warned, you know, authorities and saved a lot of lives as the prophet that he is. But it turns out he said this afterwards. So let's hear what he has to say today for our prophecy of the week.
I think if we're going to look at the prophetic aspect of this, which I think is appropriate, I'm going to say I received a dream sent to me a week ago, and it's the only dream I've ever received in my life in which it had the national anthem, the Star Spangled Banner. And in the dream, I was in travail at the Capitol building in Washington, D.C., and as I stood from the travail, I stood up with a guitar and I strummed the key of C. That's a play on words. And then I began to sing the national anthem. And I said, oh, say, can you see? It was all about removing the delusion. It, obviously a warning, obviously connected to the nation, this bridge and this dream. And so what God is saying is, He wants us to cry out, continue to cry out for the breaking of the delusion over America so that we see clearly and that we have authority to break this spell of delusion so that the people can see, including our leaders in the Capitol and elsewhere. I hope that made sense. I tried to do it really quickly.
It does make sense.
No,
it
does not make a lot of sense.
Hold on. He didn't actually dream about the bridge. Right. He was singing the national anthem at the Capitol somehow connected. But obviously that meant that the Baltimore Bridge was going down.
Yeah. And he was singing Jose, can you see in the key of C, which is that's the connection, right? Like the fact that he was playing in the key of C was a warning that something was going to happen. And it turns out it was about the bridge.
Yeah, but how do you even connect C? Like, Baltimore doesn't start with the C. C.
Maybe the ocean, like the ocean sea.
Oh. Yeah,
you know, like, oh, I was
all
playing.
The C's
I was playing C. in the key of C, singing Jose, can you see, about the sea in the ocean. And that was the warning that I held on to for over, a week. And now I'm telling people that I actually had a prophetic dream about this.
Honestly, it makes total sense why he didn't bring that up before, because there's no way he would have ever made that connection before that.
doesn't make any
sense. Also, the fact he's like, the first time I've ever dreamed about the national anthem. Not that random.
Yeah. I completely agree. I completely agree with you. So anyway, I figured we can start off on that note. It turns out that at least one prophet knew something bad was going to happen in Baltimore, apparently, with a very ambiguous dream and held on to it, which kind of makes him a jerk. You know, like if you really believe that something terrible was going to happen, Wouldn't you want to at least say, and I tried to alert the authorities. I at least tried. But no, I didn't.
Right.
Instead, I hung on to it.
Yeah. But also, like, to come out after the fact, like, actually, I had a dream that this would happen. And here's the dream that really has nothing to do with this. But look at me. I'm a prophet. That makes me a prophet.
No, that's right. That, like he's a hindsight
prophet.
Oh, totally. It's like those dudes who still to this day are like, we'll get back in power. And then no matter what happens, they renegotiate the actual reality into some other kind of new prophetic dream that, you know, God is just waiting for the right time until the worshipers return in spirit and truth. Like there's always another carrot in front of the, you know, the rabbit or whatever, trying to string them along to just hang on. And then when something slightly happens that might be interpreted as a fulfillment of the prophecy, that is the smoking gun that they have heard from God Almighty.
It's really miraculous how they can come up with this stuff. You know what? Since hindsight prophecy is the thing, I actually had a hindsight prophecy about a pastor in Texas being a misogynist and going viral and then doubling down.
You did not. You had a dream about this?
Yes. Have you heard? Josh Howerton.
Oh, my boy Josh over at Lake Point.
Yeah, Pastor Josh. In hindsight, I saw he's going to say something. Yeah, I dreamed about it.
You had a dream about it.
Yeah.
Huh? This guy right here, right? This one?
That's the one. Wow. Just like my dream.
What can I say? I mean, maybe I'm a prophet. I don't know.
Yeah.
So let me guess. You had a dream about the Star Spangled Banner in the key of C. And that was a warning that you had to see what was coming from this misogynistic pastor who was going to say something really ridiculous.
Wow. Are you a hindsight prophet too? Because you nailed it.
What can I say? I don't want to brag. I want to keep it humble, low key, you know, but God talks to me in mysterious ways and I just have a way about it. So it just was one of those things. Yeah. That's what you get for doing your devotions every morning, folks. You know, you get hindsight prophecies.
Yeah, it's really more of a curse than a blessing, truly.
Yeah, it's a heavy cross to bear. I totally agree. Friends, I am so excited to be partnering with Middle Church to promote their event, Freedom Rising, happening April 26th to the 28th, sponsored by the Candler Foundry and happening at Marble Collegiate Church in New York City. This is a three-day conference that you do not want to miss. Find rest, learn how to organize political power, and dream expansively about the world we deserve. And let me tell you, this is a monster speaker lineup with absolute legends, including Dr. Jackie Lewis, Reverend Dr. William Barbara, Reverend Dr. Kelly Brown Douglas, and Robert P. Jones, the founder of the PRRI Institute, which is the place I get all of my Christian nationalism data. This is going to be a three-day event full of learning about how to take care of you and your body, how to take action on crucial issues, and how to live into different ways of being in the world. I plan on being there, and I cannot wait to see you there as well. Get your tickets now at freedomrising.org and be part of this transformative experience. That's freedomrising.org, April 26th through the 28th in New York City. I'll see you there. You move the world.
Hey, I'm Shane Claiborne from Red Letter Christians, and I am proud to team up with the New Evangelicals and Project Amplify because Christianity is in crisis in America. There are a lot of folks who are trying to camouflage their bigotry or hatred or exclusion in the name of Christ. But at the end of the day, the word Christian means Christ-like. And so we're called to look like Jesus, to love like Jesus. Jesus said we will be known by our love. So let's reclaim Jesus. Let's take the good news of the gospel back. And I want you to join me for this project, Project Amplify, because as my friend Reverend Barber says, the way that we change the narrative is by changing the narrators. And some of the loudest voices representing Christianity haven't always been the most Christ-like or the most loving or faithful or beautiful. It's time to change that.
Josh Howerton, great segue, by the way, April. Props to you. That was smooth. He did break the internet this past week because Sheila Gregoire, who's a friend of ours, great person. I've had her on the podcast several times. I'm sure I think you talked to her a few times on your podcast, right, April, as well?
We actually haven't yet, but she is on the list to do so.
Love that.
I do
for
love
you.
Her. Yes.
She's wonderful. And her research is great. She knows her stuff. So she shared this clip of Josh Howard, Tim. I'm gonna play the whole thing. It's about a minute and a half clip, but she trimmed the second half of the clip where he made these comments about on the man's wedding night, a woman just needs to stand where she's told to stand and wear what she needs and wear what she's told to wear. And then Josh kind of came out and was like, oh, this person clipped me out of context and yada, yada, yada. So let me play the full clip here. And just so the audience knows, I will be doing a separate full in-depth response to the whole thing on a different episode. But this is a little more of a high-level overview. Josh Howerton is a very well-known pastor. He has picked up a lot of traction in the Christian nationalist space because he actually is getting more and more politicized down that rabbit hole. He blocked me a while ago, but I have my sources that will send me his stuff. And then, see, here, April, let me give you some creator strategy when people block you and you want to get their information anyway. If you want to see what they're saying, all someone has to do is send you the link to their video on Instagram or on Twitter, and then you can download that video separately through an online platform that will let you pull the video. So that's how you do it. That's how you get around.
I just have a burner account.
Okay, I had one too, but the block feature says you can block this person and all future accounts that they might make. So for me—
Is that on Twitter too?
I don't know if it's on Twitter. No, it's not on Twitter. It's definitely on Instagram.
I know it's on Instagram.
And it drives me crazy because these bros that try to pretend that they're all alpha male and masculine and so tough can't take critique. They just block people. Like Sean Foyt's blocked me. Josh Howerton's. They all block me for just, and I'm not even a jerk. I'm not even like one of these, dehumanizing, I hate you, you're a moron person. I have a legit critique and they hit the block button. It drives me nutso. But anyway, end of rant on that. So Josh, let me play the full clip and then maybe we'll get some initial thoughts from you, April, and we'll see how Josh responded to the criticism. Here we go. It's about a minute and a half.
All right. Welcome, Lake Point family. And hey man, anybody still like on a high for marriage night? Y'all were here. Dude, marriage night was amazing. I just want to say that was last night. And man, just incredible to gather. I think with like 5,000 or 6,000 people from Lake Point, just investing in marriages. I just need you to know this, like, we are all in. We are all in on, we don't just want to build great disciples. We want to build strong families. And it was just an awesome night. Just got to gather and laugh and learn and repent. And it was awesome. Now, I do want to.
I'm sorry. He's like, we lived, we laughed, we learned, we repented.
Yeah, repented of what?
What did you repent for? Like, there aren't these people all married? Like, they're not having sex outside of marriage. What were they possibly repenting for? But anyway, I just thought that was hilarious. Like, oh, we had a great time. There was cake and balloons and we all repented for our sins. It's like, oh, geez, Louise. All right. Sorry, Josh. My bad.
Fun times.
Say this, like, I just want to drop a little gift. This is free. It's totally free.
Oh, good. So a freebie.
For the people who missed marriage night, if you missed it, and what I heard was like, man, it would have been good, like, could you just give a little something if like we're not married yet, I'm headed towards marriage, okay? I'm gonna do that right now. This is a gold nugget.
I love how he sets this up. This, I'm gonna give you advice that is gonna blow your mind. All right.
That Josh, he was also given.
He was also given.
So this is free. Can y'all handle that?
For free.
Okay, this is free. Okay. Now, first, let me do this. So let me talk to the guys first. Guys, when it comes to her wedding day, she has been planning this day her entire life. She got her first like wedding magazine when she was 14. She draped the blanket around her like it was her wedding dress when she was a teenager. She did the towel over her head. It was a little veil, all the stuff. She's been planning this day her whole life. So here's what she need to do, man. When it comes to that day, just stand where she tells you to stand, wear what she tells you to wear, and do what she tells you to do. You'll make her the happiest woman in the world, okay? Now, I got an amen. Let's see if...
Okay, pause. I'm just curious, April. Was this your experience? Were you 14, dressing up in gowns, couldn't wait for your wedding day?
Negative. Negative, Nancy. No, I've literally never done any of those things. I never bought a wedding magazine.
are you even a real woman then? I mean, Josh is saying that, you know, this is like you've planned this day for decades. And me as the man, I never gave a crap. I never thought about my wedding day ever. I was definitely not involved with the planning. I didn't plan the DJ or the food or, you know, help find the location because I was just a checked out dude who just wanted my wedding night to happen. If I had to survive the wedding day to get there, you know, so be it.
Yeah, I would say so far he is 0 for 1 on this whatever this advice is he's giving.
Unrelatable. Sorry. Like this is also, I mean, it really devalues like the man in this scenario. Like I was very invested in my wedding day. I helped plan a ton of it because I gave a crap. Like I actually cared about the wedding day. But I guess for Josh, the advice that he's giving people, the freebie, is that, hey, dudes, we know none of us actually care about the wedding day. So just do what she tells you to do. Stand where you're told to stand. And here's why. Here's why. Because you're going to get yours at night. All right. So here's Josh's part two.
Spoiler.
Spoiler. You amen this.
Oh, are we going to amen this?
Now, ladies, when it comes to his wedding night,
gross.
He has been planning this day his whole life. So just stand where he tells you to stand, wear what he tells you to wear, and do what he tells you to do, and you're going to make him the happiest man in the world. That's
well, there
it,
you
man.
Go,
okay.
April.
That was free. That was free.
Listen, April, let me give you some advice. You've been married for a while, but let me give you some real advice. Mm. On his wedding night, just stand where he tells you to stand and wear what he tells you, and you're going to have a great sex life. It's guaranteed to be great as long as you just do what he tells you to do.
He went from zero to rapey real fast.
Real fast. I'm just saying, like, okay, so I am one of the people. I'm not sure about you. You don't have to share if you don't want to. But I did the, you know, save myself for the wedding night thing. Me and my wife did both. We did that. I mean, by the skin of our teeth, admittedly. But it was still technically, we were still technical virgins, okay? And I will tell you that the farthest thing from my mind on my wedding night was telling my new wife where to stand and what to wear, because it was my wedding night and not our wedding night. Like I was still pretty conservative evangelical back then. And if I heard this advice, I'd be like, I don't know, bro. This seems kind of like, this is pretty crappy advice. I would never tell my wife to do that and think that we're going to have a great, you know, start to our sex life on our wedding night by me bossing her around on night one.
Also, like, it's one thing to say that men dream about their wedding night. Like, I mean, women also dream about their wedding night. Like women can't be sexual. But the planning word he used, men have planned for their, like, I'm just picturing like a teenage boy with a whiteboard, like with a bed diagram. Like, what does that mean? What kind of planning is going into this? Like, I have questions.
That is funny. Well, I mean, okay, so I will tell you this. I did grow up deeply embedded in purity culture. And, you know, this stuff really affects men and women in different ways, but still affects them. And I had very unrealistic, I think, expectations of what sex was going to be like. I mean, I just had, you know, at age, you know, 15, 16, you're just kind of taught in this world of like, hey, dudes, I know you're an uncontrollable man full of lust and passion. You just can't wait to do what you want to do on your wedding. So just wait. And it's going to be the most perfect wedding night. As if, right? Like, if I did it their way, meaning I found a woman who loved God, who was saving herself for marriage, somehow she's supposed to go from innocent dove to, like, maniac freak once we say I do. And we're supposed to all know how everything's supposed to work. And that's, like, that's how my sex life is going to be guaranteed forever. Like, it's never going to change. It just is, it sets you up for disaster on every level.
Oh, yeah. No. So I played by all the rules, but I remember being like a teenager and having sexual feelings and being told by women's events, too. It wasn't just from men that would say this, but basically like, oh, you know, women, when you get married, he's going to want to have sex a lot and you're not really going to be into it. And that's normal, but you should put out anyway, because that's what a good wife is supposed to do. So I was trained from a young age to just expect that I'm not really going to care for sex. But I remember feeling weird because I'm like, well, sex sounds pretty awesome. I'd love to try.
Boys only, April. Boys only.
Right. But I felt like a freak. I'm like, oh, I guess I'm not really supposed to like this. But you know what was oddly like never talked about was female pleasure. in marriage. It was all about how wives should please their husbands, but it was never about having mutual pleasure or having the woman have pleasure at all. Like the ignorance that I had around sex well into marriage, like it took me years before I discovered my own pleasure because they set me up for failure. And it's also disappointing when like me and my spouse, we also waited and we were expecting to have the best sex of your life. You know, like if you wait, you're going to get in there and y'all are going to be animals.
Fireworks,
it's going
to
be amazing. Yeah. And we it was fine, but it wasn't like, it was a bit of a letdown. You know, they oversold it.
Totally. I mean, my partner and I, and she, I mean, I can tell this publicly. We've talked about it, so I have permission. But our wedding night was actually quite good. We actually both had great first time sex. But, you know, afterwards, I was like, okay, like, hey, that truly was great. But I don't feel like, you know, wow, I'm a man now. Like, wow, life has just come in full color for me. It wasn't like that. It was like, wow. Oh, okay. Like, again, that was great. I'm glad that, you know, we had that moment. We both were happy about it, but it wasn't, it was kind of oversold as like, you don't even understand, like just you wait till your wedding night. And by the way, we're kind of a rarity. I hear from a lot of people in our community, especially a lot of women who were like, yeah, it was painful. My body was tense. I felt uncomfortable. And it's because I think of that dynamic, right? Of like women, they play these stereotypes of, well, women aren't going to want to be in the mood a whole lot. And men just, you know, all they want to do is have sex 24/7. And then once you kind of get into the real world and you realize that maybe your bodies are different, maybe I'm not in the mood one night as a guy.
Yeah.
And that's all of a sudden I'm freaking out. Like, oh my God, is something wrong with me that I'm not always in the mood? And my partner might be in the mood when I'm not. It just throws you for all these loops that you're not prepared to handle because you're taught this, you know, you're taught these super stereotypical gendered roles of, women just want their wedding day. They want to be the princess to be rescued. And men just want to have sex 24/7. So the wedding night's all about them. And what a disaster. What a freaking disaster.
Yeah. And I think just even the whole idea of a wedding night where two people have saved themselves to have sex on this night.
Yeah.
Already you're starting off your marriage with sex almost as a duty. It's not like this natural, like, oh, let's have sex because I'm really into you right now. And this feels, you know, romantic and I'm turned on and I want to please you and all that stuff. That's kind of taken out automatically because it's your wedding night. You're going to have sex. That's what you do. You have to. And so it automatically kind of sets this tone of, you know, this is a duty. You are now married and men are going to love this, but women, you just got to do it because that's your role.
100%. So this happened. Sheila Grigg Ward, other people, I know I talked about it. I think you did as well. We all talked about it. And we said, hey, this is just really unhelpful advice. So Josh Howerton, being the mega church pastor that he is, of course, is not going to be like, you know, maybe I missed something here. Maybe I should be more careful with my words. You know, I have this massive platform. Tens of thousands of people attend my churches. We produce worship music that people listen to. Maybe I should be more careful. No, instead, he says this. Okay. And I'm going to read it out. He says, quote, the type of people who post these things will not care. Watch how they respond to this comment. No one will acknowledge, oh, wow, that's new info, but this is a lie. The person who originally posted this took an old preacher joke about marriage, edited out the comment immediately before aimed at men, and then very conveniently ended the clip before it's made clear it's part of a joke. They then deceitfully presented it as, quote, my advice to women, where if all you saw was the quote or the clip they selectively edited, you don't know it was half a joke, not advice. But in the clip, Josh says several times, he's giving you a freebie. This is a golden nugget. He's going to pass on information he was given to his audience. So Josh, instead of acknowledging, hey, maybe I should have chosen my words more carefully, he doubles down, blames the people who actually pulled the clip and shared the clip of his words and said, hey, this whole thing was just a big joke and it was taken too literally. I mean, it's on par for the typical mega church pastor who is so used to having yes men around him and being told by his audience everything he says is perfect that the second he gets pushback, oh my gosh, I'm actually the victim here. My clip was taken out of context, so it's actually not my
because
fault.
The clip that was going viral was just the, you know, the advice to the women on the wedding night, and they were like, oh, well, the first half he talked to the men. Like the context actually doesn't make it any better. And even if it, even if he's saying it as a joke, people tell jokes with truth to them. Like, everyone was laughing. And just because it's an old preacher joke doesn't mean it's not harmful. Like, some jokes are just not okay. And his joke is just reinforcing really harmful gender roles and stuff, like rhetoric that messed us up. That totally. I'm still having to unlearn a lot of purity culture talks and like just to view myself as a human instead of like my value being in my sexuality or not.
100%. Now, I want to say something that is important to recognize. There actually are, I know of at least one mega church pastor who said something that was really inappropriate, and he actually did reconsider his words and actually apologize. So I'm not sure if you remember the whole thing with that pastor, JP. He's a mega church pastor in Texas, and he said something.
Is he the one with the waitress who came up to him?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I reenacted that video.
Yeah, right. Well, I will tell you that he later on actually apologized publicly and said that you know, the words that he chose were not helpful and were not wise. I respect that. Like, be clear, all of us are going to, you and I both do public work. We say things online. We're going to have things that we say that are going to be taken in a terrible way or that are just problematic. And it's important that we all are willing to acknowledge that, hey, sometimes we're going to miss the mark. It's just very frustrating to have someone like Josh, who loves to be this bullhorn of like why Christian nationalism isn't that bad and how the left is taking over the country. And, here's a funny sex joke that isn't really that funny. Only double down when a lot of people, especially women, are like, Josh, this advice is terrible and actually gives men this subconscious license to have like almost non-consensual sex with their wife. Like it's very, to your point, it's very rapey and it's very gross. And his response is, I've been taken out of context. You know, people of course are going to misinterpret what I was saying. It was just a joke.
Right.
Even though in the clip, he's very clearly not joking.
Like at a minimum, he could still double down and be like, hey, that was not my intention. This is just a joke. But I am sorry to those who took it in a harmful way, because obviously I am for consensual sex, even in marriage. Like that's right. Not hard to say. You can still save face and say, I'm not for marital rape.
Right.
But no,
right.
He was like, no, that's, y'all are stupid.
I can't believe you would ever interpret my words that way. How dare you? All right, Jesus.
Oh, man. Come on.
Friends, Holy Week is back. Last week, Christians around the world celebrated Holy Week. Today, TNE invites you to join us for Holy Week, a reflection of the uncomfortable holy moments that brought this community together. Like, holy Trump really endorsed his own Bible and is trying to sell it during Holy Week to pay for his legal bills. Our goal is to hit the $15,000 mark in monthly funding for Project Amplify as we create a better way forward in our faith with less holy moments in the process. As you know, 2024 is a big year with a lot at stake, but you can make a difference. If this work has been meaningful to you, will you help us keep it accessible to others like you? You'll be helping to spread a more loving, just, and inclusive narrative that truly loves our neighbor. Set up a monthly gift of $20 or more, or a one-time gift of $40 or more, and share your own holy moment on our donor wall. You'll be entered to win some Holy Week prizes like free TNE merch, a pineapple pizza, plus 7-Eleven blueberry coffee that I will personally order for you myself, and one predestined winner will get to co-host an episode of the TNE Recap podcast with me and April LaJoy. Already a monthly donor and want to enter the Holy giveaways? Increase your current monthly gift by $5 or more and email us your receipt to enter. Donate now at the link in our show notes. God doesn't choose favorites, and neither does TNE. Winners are not divinely inspired and will be drawn at random from all eligible entries after the campaign ends on Saturday, April 6th.
Hi, my name is Leanne. I live in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. I'm 65 years old. And both my husband and I grew up in a fairly conservative evangelical church. But about 20 years ago, we began to question some of the teachings in that church, and we embarked on our own process of deconstruction and reconstruction, although it didn't have a name at the time. And we have recently started attending a wonderful church that is fully affirming and fully inclusive of our LGBTQ plus siblings in Christ. And we absolutely love it. It's the best faith experience of our lives. And I so appreciate Tim and the New Evangelicals team. I so appreciate the online resource. And I have become a donor because I believe so strongly in the really important work they're doing. And I would encourage anyone listening to consider doing the same. Thank you.
Speaking of interpreting words terribly, I don't know if you know this, April, but President Joe Biden hates America. He hates God and he hates Easter.
Oh,
did
yeah.
Did you know that?
I've heard that on the grapevine, yeah.
Capital H-A-T-E-S. He hates Easter. Because this past week, as we know, was Easter, March 31st. And it was also the Trans Day of Visibility, a day that has happened on March 31st for 15 years. Hmm. And President Biden has acknowledged the day since 2021. So for 3 years in a row, he's acknowledged the International Trans Day of Visibility on March 31st. Well,
his entire presidency. Year,
yeah, exactly. Pretty much his entire presidency. So this year, because Easter came early for some reason, I guess the way that, I don't know how the calendar works. I'm not that smart, but it happened on March 31st. And Joe Biden did what he always did. He issued March 31st as the Trans Day of Visibility. And my gosh, if that is not the smoking gun that Joe Biden, a devout Catholic, hates Easter, I don't know what is. Because I'll tell you what, Christian nationalist Twitter lost their GD minds. They lost their minds and insisted that this was proof that Joe Biden was worshiping a false religion of transness or something, and that he hates America, he hates God, he hates Easter, and that this new cult needs to be defeated.
Well, it wasn't just Christian nationalist Twitter. It was Fox News. It was all the conservative radio talk shows, TV shows, like Sean Foyt made a video that Joe Biden was canceling the trying to cancel Easter, and also compared it to Trump selling Bibles. That like people can't, if you're mad that Trump sold Bibles but aren't mad that Joe Biden likes trans people, then you're what's wrong with America.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Yeah, but it's so. It's honestly one of those things that's so frustrating because it's so easily like, hey, you know, this is not really a thing to be outraged about, especially because he also, as he's also done every year, released a statement on Easter celebrating the resurrection as a Christian himself.
He's Catholic, April. He's not a real Christian. You know this. We grew up evangelical. Only white evangelicals who believe in penal Protestant. Substitutionary atonement and maybe Calvinism or maybe Pentecostalism, who knows? But only that group are true Christians, okay? Catholics are, they believe a false gospel. And Joe Biden is a woke Catholic, okay? He hates the country. I mean, and this is proof. The fact that he recognized what he always has recognized on March 31st is proof that Joe Biden hates America.
Yeah, it's so maddening. And even the people like Meg Basham went on Dinesh D'Souza's show, podcast or whatever, after they already knew that Trans Visibility Day was on March 31st since 2009. And she's even like, yeah, I know it's been on there since 2009, but still, Joe Biden could have picked a different day this year. I'm like, I don't think you understand how holidays special days work.
Look,
like, you can't just pick a different day.
Meg Basham drives me crazy. I really don't want to dehumanize her. It's a very strict policy I have. But the fact that she really uses the term journalist and tweets what she tweets, it's shocking. And to watch a so-called journalist go on Dinesh D'Souza's show, a man who made the documentary 2000 Mules, somehow proving that the election was stolen, but then in court they admitted they actually had no hard evidence of the election being stolen, despite making this terrible documentary, if you can even call it that. A journalist goes on his show to completely misrepresent Joe Biden declaring March 31st the International Trans Day of Visibility and tying it back to the ridiculous, the stupid, the ignorant culture war that if you're a Democrat, you hate America and hate God. I have some tweets. I pulled tweets from people who were talking about this. Let's just go down the list. This is the first one. This is a Liberty University college student who's trying to get into the Christian nationalist game. Okay. He's one of these, like, I'm growing on Twitter, so I have something to say. Here's what his name is, Jesse Hughes. Okay. Here's what he said. Easter is now a day for trans visibility. Christ is King is now too offensive. Christian schools are being targeted for their beliefs. Religious Easter artwork is banned from the White House. Why do Christian leaders still refuse to stand up and condemn this? Okay, here's what you need to know. Easter is now a day for trans visibility. We've already covered this, okay? It's been happening on March 30. If anything, right. Easter has encroached on that day, okay? Easter is right. Yeah, it's really Easter's fault, but I digress. Christ is King. This is a big thing happening in conservative Twitter because people like Nick Fuentes, these white supremacist nationalists, and these are self-admitted terms by Nick, by the way, use Christ is King as an anti-Semitic slur to disparage people who are Jewish, like Ben Shapiro, for example. And a lot of Christian nationalists are like, oh my God, again, the woke mob is coming for Christ is King. When in reality, that's been turning into a dog whistle to really go after people who are Jewish. Okay, now not everyone believes that. In fact, I have seen a lot of people in that Christian nationalist space be very clear and say anti-Semitism is bad. So I'm glad to hear them at least say that. But despite that, people like Candace Owens, the way that they use this word or phrase to respond to someone like Ben Shapiro, it's just very obvious what they're doing. Christian schools are being targeted for their beliefs.
Yeah, me neither.
I have no idea what he's talking about here. No clue at all. Religious Easter artwork is banned from the White House. This is another one of these disingenuous things where you're like, how dare you? You do not claim to be an intellectual and say nonsense like this, because if he knew anything, he would know that for, I think, over two or three decades of the Easter egg painting that the White House has done, they've had the same rules in place. No overtly religious symbols, no high partisan political messaging, etc. That's been through the Trump presidency, through the Obama presidency, the Bush presidency, and Biden continues the tradition. But you wouldn't know that from these kinds of tweets, because the way that they present it is, and Joe Biden banned religious symbolism from the Easter egg painting at the White House. No, they've been doing this for years. This has been a standard practice. So that's what Jesse said. Let's keep going, because I have more tweets. I need to point these out. Kevin Sorbo.
Oh, Kevin.
We love Kevin. You know, he's a great B-list actor who is just, again, down the... And I don't mean that in a disparaging way. Like, he just is one of those actors that's kind of on that God's not dead train, right? I think, doesn't he play the atheist guy, the atheist professor in the
Yeah, God's but he died movies? In the first one. Spoiler alert.
He does?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I never saw the movie.
You never saw the movie? Oh, me. It's Rich. He is the antagonist, who's the atheist professor, who dies at the end of the film by getting hit by a car. And the protagonist, Christian dude, one of them, sees him and runs over. But instead of offering water, aid, calling for medical help, he leans down and gets this Kevin Sorbo atheist to pray the sinner's prayer right before he dies. The atheist then dies, but he's saved. So then it cuts to a Newsboys concert. And literally, like, one of the guys from Duck Dynasty is like, I heard a student here really put an atheist professor in place. And everyone cheers. And then the Newsboys sing God's Not Dead and everyone celebrates.
Okay. That's Kevin Sorbo. Got it. Okay. Got it. Well, here's what he said. Easter Sunday is being replaced. Our, quote, Catholic president banned religious imagery from the White House and is now calling Easter Sunday Transgender Day of Visibility. Tyrants, all of them. What does that even
so
mean?
Dramatic. So dramatic.
So dramatic. So
like
dramatic.
He's not calling Easter Sunday. There's nothing about Easter in his proclamation. He clearly is just saying March 31st is Transgender Day of Visibility, which he has said for the last like 3 years.
And that it's been on that day for 15 years. Like literally, yeah. This has been a thing for a long time. Okay. And then we have Benny Johnson, another one of these, you know, right wing bros who just says, and I've seen him speak at Turning Points America Fest. They just say things that are so dehumanizing. So Ben, and so just disingenuous. Benny says the White House literally banned Jesus from the Easter celebration this year.
Literally. Now
they, literally. Now they have declared Easter Sunday Transgender Day. This is a direct attack on Christianity. No Christian should ever vote Democrat again. The fight is not left versus right. It's good versus evil. Wake up.
I love how they say wake up. Like, and, but we're not supposed to be woke.
And also, the fight is not left versus right. Also, a paragraph earlier. No Christian should ever vote Democrat again.
I know.
Like, oh, so it is a fight versus left versus right. Like, yeah. What are you talking about? Oh my gosh. It was so frustrating to watch these people deliberately misrepresent what was going on for this. I mean, just for this, I swear, these people have a persecution fetish.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, they want to be persecuted so bad. These people have millions of followers on their accounts. They are, many of them are worth a lot of money. Yeah. They speak on TV. They have access to power. Some of them meet presidents of the United States of America, right? Like, Trump is in these people's corner. And their reaction is, how dare Joe Biden do what he's done for years? We are under attack in this country. It's like, do you want to be thrown in jail? Like, is that what you really want to happen? Like, I don't understand.
I do think there's like normal, like your average everyday Christian who's going to see the leaders say this stuff and probably genuinely believe that there's some attack on Christianity. But yeah, but I do think the leaders, like the Benny Johnsons of the world, are stoking the flames because Christian persecution is good for Christian nationalist business, especially in an election year. If they, totally. It riles up the base and it gets people more motivated to get out and vote.
That's right. And again, like, it's all about being disingenuous because President Biden issued an Easter proclamation celebrating the physical resurrection of, and celebrated the Christian tradition of Easter, you know, all over the world, he said. And also, the man is a devout Catholic. Like you might not agree with some of his policies around some issues. That's fine. But to try and make it seem like, well, this man is clearly not a real Christian and he hates God because of this, of him doing what he's always done on March 31st. It is just incredibly disingenuous, but the fear, it works. And of course, their president, President Trump, was of course going to capitalize on this. Here's what he said, okay, in response to this. Here you go.
Such total disrespect to Christians, and November 5th is going to be called something else. You know what it's going to be called? Christian Visibility Day, when Christians turn out in numbers that nobody has ever seen before.
And this ended up going, it started trending on Twitter, Christian Visibility Day. And again, I just want to be so clear here. Christians are overrepresented in government. Christians have their own multi-billion dollar entertainment industries, their own publishing industry. There are over 250,000 churches in the U.S. And there are still Christians out there who really believe that they are under attack because other people are asking to be visible in a society that has historically marginalized them. Like, for a Christian nationalist, any attempt to bring up other people and give them the same privilege as Christian nationalists is seen as an attack on the Christian nationalists. The idea of transgender people being visible, being represented in media, or being celebrated for who they are, having access to healthcare, it's like rubbing salt in their Christian nationalist wound that they self-inflicted on themselves.
Yeah, it's like that quote, I don't remember who said it originally, but that equality feels like oppression to the oppressor.
Yes.
That's exactly what's happening here.
Exactly what's happening here. Yeah. Exactly. And Trump is, of course, going to capitalize on this because these types of Christians are the most gullible. Like, they really will believe anything that this man says and then demand that this is like the God-fearing Christian vote that you have to that you have to get behind. It is my mind. I spend a lot of time in my head just being so flabbergasted that there are people out there who insists that the man who was found liable of raping a woman, the man who uses the Bible as a tool to grift his own people, who does not give a flying crap about the Bible or the teachings of Jesus, these people will insist that Trump is the man fighting for Christianity, when all this dude does is make a mockery out of the faith time and time again. But because they are so emphatically opposed to the culture war, and they literally hate queer people. I mean, they hate them, right? Yeah. Because of that, Joe Biden is the enemy who's destroying the country because he supports marginalized groups, at least verbally anyway, more than Trump does. And therefore, true Christians vote for Trump and they oppose Biden, the agenda of demons. It is so ass backwards.
It really is. There's not a day that goes by that I get used to this. Like, I'm still continually baffled because it just seems so obvious. Like, Trump doesn't surprise me anymore. Trump has always been narcissistic and a grifter. But I keep thinking, one of these days, evangelicals are going to wake up and realize that they have, you know, if I don't believe in like the Antichrist anymore, right, but if I were to, Trump would like fit the bill, I feel. And like, they're just like, oh yeah, they've warned us about the Antichrist our entire life, and now they're buying Bibles from him. I mean, he's not really the Antichrist, for the record. I don't believe in that anymore, but still, he is quite, I mean, he's about as Antichrist as you could get.
Sometimes I'm surprised I'm still a Christian. Like, this is what I'm coming out of. This is my faith tradition really tried to sell me that this dude and everything that he does is what God has determined is the right candidate to save America. Like, we are just in the upside down. We are in an alternate universe where everything is backwards. And it blows my mind that this man has totally transformed politics in under a decade. And it's been white evangelicals who have been the biggest pusher of this man and his lies and his dehumanization. I mean, he recently called immigrants animals. Do we not know where this rhetoric leads? I mean, as Christians, the Bible, this Bible that people like, you know, Benny Johnson and Kevin Sorbo insist is their guiding light. Well, that book, if they actually read it, is full of teachings to love and welcome the foreigner and to humanize the sojourner. And they just have the opposite approach. And then they have the gall to really pretend that they're standing on some kind of biblical ethic or some kind of Christian ethic.
I'm pretty sure that in their Bible, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved America."
Yeah, white America.
Yeah.
Not the transgender people in America.
No.
Not the BIPOC people in America. Not queer people in America. God so loved Trump and all of his supporters. Yeah.
Yeah. Conservative Christians in America.
Yes. And I want to prove how pro-Easter, you know, Trump actually is. We actually have, we have the Easter proclamations of Biden and Trump. And I figured we would read each one and try and figure out who said what.
Mm.
Is that fair?
I think that's fair. Yeah.
Okay. Now, don't forget, you know, Trump is God's chosen candidate. So I would expect for Trump to be, you know, very much a pro-Easter person celebrating Easter everywhere. So obviously, you know, because people are going to watch this on YouTube, you're going to know which one's which if you're watching. But if you're listening, we won't give the name of the person right away. Okay, yeah. we'll just read it. How about I read the first one, and then you read the second one? Does that work for you?
Good. Yep.
Okay. Let me pull up my image here if I can find it. Okay. Yeah. Here we go. Okay. There it is. So here's the first person, and here's what this person said. Well, their spouse is named here.
Just say we.
Yeah. Thank you, April. That's great. We send our warmest wishes to Christians around the world celebrating the power of hope and the promise of Christ's resurrection this Easter Sunday. Then there's a picture. As we gather with loved ones, we remember Jesus' sacrifice. We pray for one another and cherish the blessing of the dawn of new possibilities. Okay, that is person A, Easter proclamation. Okay, now
person B.
Person B. It's all you, April. Good luck. This one's a doozy. All right, there you go.
Okay, so this one, no joke, is written in all caps. So
yes.
I'm going to get my yell voice together. Happy Easter to all, including crooked and corrupt prosecutors and judges that are doing everything possible to interfere with the presidential election of 2024 and put me in prison, including those many people that I completely and totally despise because they want to destroy America, a now failing nation like deranged Jack Smith, who is evil and sick, Mrs. Fonnie Wade, who said she hardly knew that special prosecutor, only to find that he spent years loving her long before the Georgia persecution of President Trump began, and thereby making the case against me null, void, and illegal, and lazy on violent crime, Alvin Bragg, who, with Crooked Joe's DOJ thugs, unfairly working in the DA's office, illegally indicted me on a case he never wanted to bring, and virtually all legal scholars say is a case that should not be brought, is breaking the law in doing so. Pomerantz, was turned down by all other law enforcement authorities and is not a crime. Happy Easter, everyone.
April, I insist for your audiobook. You read your audiobook just like that.
which one sounds more Christian?
Oh, I mean, friends, can you tell who is who? Don't worry. One hates America and hates Christianity, and the other one is fighting for those good old American Christian values. Happy Easter to all, including crooked and corrupt prosecutor. This guy's for real. This dude's for real. And there are evangelical leaders that insist this is who we gotta support as true Christians.
I laugh so I don't cry. Yeah. Because it is one of those, like, how did we get here?
It is mind-blowing that this is where we're at. And then I got bros in my podcast reviews. This dude's a heretic. This dude hates Christianity. But maybe he's saying something really important. It could be one of the two. Who knows? It's like, what world are we living in? What world are we living in?
It's a wild, wild world. Yeah. And also the Sean Foyts of the world. Their whole thing about why they hate Biden is because he likes trans people too much, apparently. Yes. I mean, that abortion, whatever, but mainly trans people this past week. But there are actual, real reasons to be critical of Biden that they're not going for at all. They're just doing they're playing these culture wars that just harm marginalized groups.
Right. How about we critique Biden for still sending weapons to the state of Israel that is massacring Palestinians like crazy? I mean, there are for sure. Do not misunderstand. There are real critiques to be made of Joe Biden. Like, I'm not saying that he is God's anointed president. I'm just saying the issues to your point that they're critiquing Biden over are the opposite reasons you want to critique someone over. Like, you want someone who's going to protect marginalized folks, who wants to protect their constitutional rights. These are all good things. You should critique someone for participating in the military-industrial complex that makes companies like Lockheed Martin billions of dollars selling weapons to other countries that are bombing children. That is a problem. But you're not going to hear that.
Yeah, they're celebrating the 6-week abortion ban in Florida, calling any woman who has an abortion a murderer, but at the same time being pro-Israel no matter what.
Exactly. I've actually had in my head now for a bit like a reel I want to do, kind of calling out the ridiculous nature of this pro-life movement that is silent when so many children, right, it makes me feel nauseous. I feel so powerless, but it's happening. And to watch these so-called pro-life people who are all upset about, IVF, right? Yeah. Somehow that's murdering children, but the U.S. bombs that are being sold to the government of Israel that are being dropped on children or aid workers, somehow that's just not that important because to our point, the theology drives so much of this.
Yeah.
The belief that, if we don't protect Israel, God's going to judge the nation. This terrible, unhealthy, ignorant theology is driving the mass genocide of the Palestinian people. It's crazy.
Yeah. It really has nothing to do with the Bible or the teachings of Jesus. It has everything to do with a culture war. Because if you are really going to worship and claim to be a Christ follower, who is the Prince of Peace? Who said to lay down your weapons? You cannot then continually to be pro-Israel, who is massacring thousands of children, 100%. Innocent lives. Yeah, 100%. It does not compute. So
yeah, I agree. Well, listen, this was quite the recap, and we covered a lot of ground, and we could have covered more. I mean, there were so many other things to talk about. We are going to hear an update next week about the eclipse prophecy. You have some interesting developments that we're going
to
get into.
Next week, we'll be able to also say this was a prophecy, and we could say whether it was true or not, because the eclipse is on Monday. So
fingers crossed. I mean, who knows what's going to happen? You know, the end of the world really could be here.
Yeah. As a sidebar, there is a post going around from a Christian lady telling people that you don't have to wear glasses to look at the eclipse because God never said you need special glasses to look at his signs and wonders. It's giving ivermectin vibes, but please do not look at the eclipse without those special glasses.
I beg you. Yeah. God will not heal you from going blind. Okay.
No.
That's not how it's going to work. Yes. Great advice. Please wear glasses to watch the eclipse. Also, April, I am curious to hear about your sun prophecy that you predicted a couple weeks ago.
Oh, yes, when the Phoenix Suns. We'll give an update on that.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. Love that. All right. Well, April, good seeing you, friends. Thanks for hanging out. We'll talk to you all later on. See ya.
Bye.